All right, let's take our Bibles together back to the prophet Haggai. We continue to go verse by verse through this book of the Word of God. And we've come to chapter verse 12 of chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king." God will bless his word. Father, we pray one more time that you would add your blessing to your word and to our hearts, that we might receive it and learn from it. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been with us, you know the message that Haggai has preached to the people. It's been a very personal message. It's been somewhat harsh, but it's been a blessing. Though they have not been involved in the work of God as they should have for, I guess, about 15 years or so after they begun it because of all the opposition. And after the preaching of the Word of God, that was so straight to them. The Bible said in verse 12, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God." Isn't that great? Wouldn't that be great if that could be said about us every time that God spoke to us, that every time his voice gave us a message that we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. You know, there's great power. It's a powerful thing when there's unity, when there's unified obedience to the voice of the Lord God. Some great things can happen, not just when one person obeys the voice of the Lord. Zerubbabel said, "I'll obey it. I'll do what God said." But not just him. Joshua said, I'll obey the voice of the Lord. But not just him. The Bible said, all the remnant of the people. Didn't look like anybody was accepted. They were all in on it together. And not one was lacking. We'll all do it. We'll just do whatever God wants us to do. There's power in that. You know, there's power in that if that's the way it is in your home. I mean, if the kids will just say, we'll just do whatever God says. We'll do whatever mom and dad says. We'll obey. We'll be obedient. If the kids are obedient, if the wife will say, I'll obey God and I'll obey my husband. And if the husband will say, hey, I'll obey God. And I'll obey when I hear the message, I'll lead my home in the way. There's just power when everybody is obeying. But the problem is when part are obedient. You know what this story would have been like if they hadn't have all been obedient? A half of them or a third of them or a part of them would have been out there working on the things of God and the others would still be back at their home. I wonder how that would have turned out. Probably wouldn't have turned out very well because the people that were involved in the work of God probably would have got a bad attitude about all the people that weren't coming to the house of God working like, and the people that were home probably would get a bad attitude saying, you know, they just think they're hyper spiritual and I'm just saying it worked better when everybody collectively said, we'll do what God said to do. It just works out better that way. It works out better for a church. It works out better for a nation. It works out better for a family. When everybody will be willing to be obedient. But boy, that word obey, that's a hard word, isn't it? Children obey. Obedience doesn't stop with the children, you see. And you can tell some people never learn to obey because they're way up in years and they still can't obey the Lord. But here the Bible says all of them, all the remnant of the people, look at it, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And then there's a comma there. Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet. Now, it's one thing, really, it should be an easy thing to obey the voice of God. I mean, he sort of made you, you know. He is the one you have to answer to. He's always right. Right? I mean, God's never wrong. So really, if we don't obey God, we have absolutely no excuse. But really, if you can't obey God, you can't ever get to this second part. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and they obeyed Haggai the prophet. It was one thing for them to say, well, man, we've got the Pentateuch, we've got the Bible. We know what the Bible says, but this Haggai guy, man, I don't know about him. I mean, where did he come from? And now he's telling us to disobey the government? I don't know if I've got confidence in him. You know what? Some people never get to the place where they can receive instruction from God through a fallible man. But you know, the truth is, that's the pattern of God. I'll give you an example. These children, as they grew up in this house, in their home, their mom can be very wrong. Right? And what if they would say, you know, I'm just not going to do right because, you know, mom's got problems. I'm not going to do what she says because, you know, she didn't always do right. You can say that. A child could say that. Well, you know, Dad, he hadn't really been praying like he should pray and been living right. I don't think I'll listen to Dad because he's a fallible person. And see, what happens is in a lot of people's lives, they can never obey the voice of another individual because they see inconsistencies or problems and they think that they can only obey a perfect person. That's not the pattern in the Bible. Every authority that was a human being in the Bible had inconsistencies and problems. And Haggai would be no different. They didn't say, well, I'll obey God, but I'm not going to obey Haggai. And if they would have had that attitude, they would not have gone out there and started work on the temple of God. They would not have gone back to the work of God. Because the truth is, God was trying to talk to them through a fallible person. I don't understand how people can get the idea that I can't receive instruction from a fallible man when they themselves are sinful. It's almost like you think, you know, I have a higher standard for God speaking to me than me speaking to anybody else. You know, the police get it wrong sometimes, but they're the authority. The president gets it wrong sometimes, but he's still an authority. Mom and dad get it wrong, but they're still an authority. The pastor gets it wrong sometimes, but he still has an authority. Amen. And the truth is, everybody has some sphere of authority, even if it's over your kids or at work or something, but whatever your sphere of authority is, you're going to get it wrong sometimes too. That doesn't lessen what God's trying to tell you through another person. If God can speak through an ass, His word, that's a pretty low standard. It's not really the vessel, it's the message that God's trying to get to our heart. And I just want you to look at that verse again, verse 12. It said, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. You know, if you're a young person, you're not going to obey God if you can't obey the authorities in your life. You know, if you're older, you can't obey God if you can't obey the other authorities in your life. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. Look at, as the Lord their God had sent him. God sent Haggai to the people. He said, you go. And sometimes when God sends someone, maybe it's not exactly the way everybody likes it to be. God sent Haggai the people. He didn't say, okay. He didn't even let them vote on who they got sent. He just sent him. Look at Zechariah, the other guy that's preaching to these same people. Look at the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah, the Bible says in chapter 4, same thing said of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, watch this in verse 8. Zechariah 4 verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Here the prophet says, this guy's going to finish the job. Watch this. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Zechariah said, you're going to know that God sent me when what I said about this guy comes to pass. Maybe they were having a question about it. I don't know. Look at chapter 6. Zechariah chapter, contemporary now. Zechariah is contemporary with Haggai. And God is trying to let his people know, I have sent someone to you to give you a message. Zechariah chapter 6 verse 15, the Bible says, and they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, watch this, if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. There it is again. The interwoven connection of God sending a prophet, God sending a preacher to preach to those people. And if they'll only obey, then the things of God will grow. Look at Ezra. We read this when we looked at verse 1. But look at Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14. Ezra 6 verse 14, the Bible says, and the elders, this is the context of where we are in our book. Ezra 6, 14, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the what? Through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. It was listening to and obeying the preaching of these two prophets that caused their lives to prosper. Do you see that? That's why the Bible tells us in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians, it says, despise not prophesying. Don't get mad at the prophesying. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, you will prosper through prophesying. The preaching, the message of the Word of God will build you up upon your most holy faith. The message of the Word of God will get out the dross and make you what you ought to be. But it's so easy sometimes and they could have right here in Haggai, right after he got so personal with, they could have gotten mad at the prophesying. But instead of getting mad, they said, no, God sent him. And so we're just going to obey, and we're all going to obey because God sent him. You remember when Joseph talked to his brethren and he said, you know, you thought you sent me into Egypt. He said, but you didn't send me into Egypt. God sent me into Egypt. God was working behind the scenes to provide for you when you didn't even understand it. God sent me. When God sent Moses, same phrase, when God sent Moses to the children of Israel, what did they think about it? Well, they thought it was great until they started suffering a little bit. Since you've come in here, we've just had a hard life. And they didn't understand that God was working His will behind the scenes to prosper them and to help them. It's not always easily seen that way. God sent Haggai to the people to prosper them, to help them, to edify them, to build them up. And they could have gotten mad at Haggai, but they recognized he was sent by God. Look at Luke chapter 10. You know, when you think about someone being sent by God, I believe God still sends messengers. I really do. I believe God still sends us a message in through different people. Look at Luke chapter 10 and John chapter 13. And you know what's sad? What's sad is that some people, God sends some people in some people's lives, and they never even understand it. They just totally miss it. And God sent that person in their life. In Luke chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 16, Luke 10, 16, Jesus says, "He that heareth you heareth me." He's talking to his disciples. "And he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." You see how Jesus is connecting the one who sins with the one that is sent? See, the reason that they needed to obey Haggai the prophet was because God sent him, and they could not obey the voice of the Lord without obeying Haggai the prophet, because it was a package deal. Just like you could not receive from God the Father if you hadn't received from God the Son. Just like you would not receive from Jesus if you would not receive from those that he sent out to preach his message. If you were living that day, could you not have found a ton of faults with those 12 guys he sent out? My soul. One of them was a devil. But that's what's wrong with people. People are so perfect in their own eyes, they can't receive instruction from imperfect people. And Jesus said, if they won't listen to you, they won't listen to me. And if they wouldn't listen to Haggai, they wouldn't listen to God. That's just, if they wouldn't listen to Moses, they wouldn't listen to God. It was connected. That's why we better discern when God has sent somebody in my life to give me a message. Because if I'm rejecting that, look at John chapter 13, that I'm rejecting the one that sent the message. You remember when Samuel tried to talk the people out of wanting a king? And they said, no, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And boy, it broke Samuel's heart. You know what God said to Samuel? God said to Samuel, they've not rejected you. They've rejected me. These messengers that God sends, it's important. John chapter 13, verse 20. Because we're not important. God's not going to come down from heaven and come in your living room and tell you what to do. Now, if you're a charismatic, you know, you think you're that important that God will come down and give you a personal vision from the third heaven. But he only did that to people that wrote the Bible. You understand? We're not that important. No, what God does to us, He sends common, ordinary, plain people just like we are to give us the message that we need to hear. And if we won't get that, you know what? We won't get anything. We send these missionaries all around the world. We got Brother Kyle here. We got Brother Daniel. You know what Brother Kyle and Brother Daniel are? They're just plain people. But you know what? And these missionaries are just plain people. And when they go to another land, though they're plain people, you know what? If those people do not receive the message that God has sent through them, they're going to miss everything God's trying to tell them. I mean, you're not talking about going in a place where there's a church on every corner. These missionaries, that's what a missionary is. It's a sent one. But they represent the Lord. We're ambassadors for Christ. John 13, 20, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You see how all that's interconnected? Now, there's one thing I got to tell you. Everybody that says they're sent by God is not sent by God. And that's where you have to have one little word. It's called discernment. Would you look at Nehemiah? Because Nehemiah is right here in the context, not many years off of where Haggai is. And Nehemiah was confronted with somebody that said that they were from God, but they weren't. Now, are you here's the million-dollar question. Are you spiritual enough to know when God has sent you a message through a messenger? And are you spiritual enough to know when a guy's a fake and says he's the messenger of God and he's not? You know how many people have, their whole lives have been ruined and deceived because they thought somebody was of God and they weren't? And on the other hand, how many people have ruined their lives because they were convinced that person can't be of God and that it was God sent right to their door? Nehemiah chapter 6, watch this. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 10. Afterward I came into the house of Shimei, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. I want you to look at verse 12. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. This guy comes and says, hey, they're going to kill you tonight. We need to go in the house of God and lock the doors and be safe. And Nehemiah studied that thing over. And he said, you know, God didn't send this guy to me. This is not God's message. How could he discern that so easily? Well, because the whole motivation for him, listen to this guy, was one of fear. And God's not giving us the spirit of fear. He said, man, what's my life anyway? If I'm just after trying to save my life, you're trying to get me to think about saving myself. I don't know if that's really the kind of person God would send to me. Because we're all supposed to be putting our lives on the line for him, not trying to hide in the temple. Well, there's a lot of people hiding in the temple. There's a lot of people hiding in the temple that should be out working on the wall. Nehemiah was out there working on the wall. He said, God didn't send you to me because you're going to interrupt my business for God. You know how you can know that's not God that sent this person in your life? If they're interrupting your business for God. And if they're playing on you having some type of self-preservation. That's not where God lives at. That's not the kind of messengers he sent. And Nehemiah said, I just perceived that God didn't send this guy. So back to our text in Haggai. So here comes, they all obey the voice of the Lord. They all obey the prophet Haggai. And the Bible said in verse 12, the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Did you know that one of the purposes of preaching is to bring us all into the fear of the Lord? That's how you know that the modern day Christianity and the modern day sermons have nothing to do with biblical Christianity, because their purpose, their motivation is not to get people to the place where they are in the fear of God. Obviously, we're to be in the fear of God all day long. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Without the fear of the Lord, we're going to go haywire. And something that we don't have a diet of today is a steady diet of the fear of God, because we don't have a steady diet of prophesying and preaching in the pulpits all across America like it used to be. Man, I grew up scared to death of God. And look at the smile on my face.
Well, we can't promote fear.
What do you mean, man? I mean, that brings happiness in the end. It's these people that got no fear stamped on the back of their trucks, amen. Those are the people that are headed for a bunch of misery.
I'm not afraid of anything.
Well, you're crazy. Because there's always something out there bigger than you. And the biggest of all is the Lord God. Haggai's prophesying, and the Bible says at the end of the day, the people were brought into the fear of the Lord. Man, that's so healthy. Wouldn't it be great if people were afraid to do wrong? You say, well, we shouldn't do right out of fear. I think y'all do right out of love and out of fear. The Bible says we're to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Yeah, we're not to fear man, but we're to fear God. And you see, here's what happened. The last message, they were all involved in their houses and their lives and their works, and they had come to a place where they weren't afraid of God anymore. It didn't matter if they weren't doing what God said to do or not. And that's a dangerous place when you get to the place where you're not afraid whether you obey God or not. And through the prophesying of this prophet, the Bible says the people did fear before the Lord. Now, watch verse 13. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You know how great God is? God said, you know, if you'll just get your house in order, if you'll just get your life right, I will come to you with an encouraging message. Haggai's first message was not encouraging. It was pretty rough. But when they got in the fear of God, when they got right with God in their hearts, when they obeyed the Lord in their hearts, then God comes back and says, give them this message now. Amen. Well, what's this one? Tell them I'm with them. That's a whole lot different than the other one. Why aren't you guys building my house? Why are you just so involved in... No, this one is, I'm with you. But you know what the world wants? They want God to say, I'm with you, when they're not with God. You understand? They're wanting the positive, encouraging, edifying. Oh, praise God. God's with us. Oh, God's not with everybody. The Lord will be with you as long as you'll be with Him. If you'll obey Him, if you'll fear Him, if you'll do what He says, sure, He's going to be with you. And that's the second message from Haggai. The Lord's with you. But they would have never got that message if they'd have said, you know, I don't like that, what I heard. I don't. Who does Haggai think he is? They would have not, they've never got the second message. I like this where the Bible says that the Lord's messenger, verse 13, then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. I like that. In other words, it wasn't just the words of Haggai. It was Haggai, the messenger of God, speaking in the Lord's message. And that's so important for all those that God sends. They're not to speak their own words. They're supposed to speak the words of He who sent them. That's what Jesus said that. Jesus said in John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus didn't even speak what He wanted to speak. He spoke what the Father sent Him to speak. Wow. Every true messenger of God desires to speak in the Lord's message. God, what do you want to say to these people? Sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's encouraging, but God, whatever you want me to say to them, that's what I want to say to them. And God responded to their response, what a heart they had, and so God turned toward them and gave them an encouraging message. It's like draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you, you know. Cleanse your hands, you know, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. That's what they did. And the Lord will lift you up. God is lifting his people up here, but only after they humbled himself before him. The Bible says, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You know, that probably, you could stop there and just say, well, that's enough. Maybe they didn't have all the tools to build on the temple of God, but if the Lord was with them, that'd be enough. Maybe they didn't have all the strength and the energy, but if the Lord was with them, that'd be enough. Maybe the government was going to be out there and they were all their lives were going to be threatened, but if the Lord was with them, that would be enough. I fear sometimes that we try to do things without the Lord being with us, without desiring him to be with us, to not just be in us, to be with us. Lord, we want you to be with what we're doing. We want to be co-laborers together with God. We're not just trying to do right. We want to do right with you. We're not just trying to have church. We're trying to have church with you. We're just not trying to sing and look at the Bible. We're trying to sing and look at the Bible with you. I'm not just trying to do what I do. I'm trying to do it with you, God. You remember when the Lord told Moses, I'll be with you, and Moses said, well, if you're not going to be with you, I'm not going any farther. Because it's just futile. It's just, I'm not going to spend all my time doing this if you're not going to be with me. And if they don't think you're with me, that's one thing. But if I know you're not with me, that's a whole other thing. It's just not worth it if you're not going to be with me, Lord. Moses died. Joshua probably had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And the Lord told him to be not discouraged. Don't be afraid. You know what he said? I'm with you. He said, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to tell you what. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. If God's not with you and your family, it's all going to fail. If it don't care what we have in the church, if God's not with us, it's going to fail. Doesn't matter what I do. If God's not with me, it's just because there is no strength in the flesh. But with the presence of God, you can do anything God wants you to do. Even if the government's standing out there waiting on you to go out there and start building that temple, and then they're going to cut your head off, if God will walk out there with you, it'll be all right. And those people said, man, if God's going to be with us, I guess we'll go out there. Lord, it doesn't matter how big the storm is. If you're in that ship, it'll be okay. Doesn't matter how hard the work is. If your hand's with my hand, it'll be all right. David said to his young son Solomon, you know, man, can you imagine a young boy having a whole kingdom like that put on his back? You know what David said? David said, son, God's going to be with you. The God that was with me is going to be with you. Man, what a privilege, what a necessity in our life. I can't be a parent without God. I can't be a pastor without God. I can't be a good Christian without the presence of God. We need to lean on that presence. We need to depend upon that presence. And the presence of God ought to cheer our hearts and keep us going. Lord, it may get hard, but if you're with me down here, that's enough. And Jesus said, he told us to go into all the world, didn't he? Teach all nations, all of them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to serve all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Probably God is never more with us when we are involved in that commission. Because he promised. You go do that, I'll be with you. You do some of those things, You go play baseball. Maybe God doesn't like baseball. But you know what he does like? He likes the gospel going to all the world. He said, I'll be with that. There's some things God cannot get with. Amen. And he told these guys, if you'll just do what God says, God is going to be with you. Look at verse 14. I got to finish. He said, verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. So we see, first of all, they had a unified obedience, and then there was an encouraging message that God would be with them. And then they had a stirred up spirit. Their spirit got stirred up. You know, people that aren't motivated to do anything never do anything. You know, I looked in the Bible. There are three ways you can get stirred up. One, you can stir yourself up. Do you know that? Look at Exodus chapter 35. They're still having Master Club, so we'll hurry up, all right? I didn't even know last month that Master Club went till 8:30. Amen. You can stir yourself up. You say, preacher, I'm not excited anymore about the things of God or about church or about witnessing or serving the Lord or my prayer life or my Bible study or my family. I'm just not excited about it anymore. Well, stir yourself up. Amen. Make yourself get excited. You can do that. And you can do that without getting on drugs. You say, well, that's a fake thing. No, it's not. You can talk to yourself and say, hey, let's get excited. Put a smile on your face. Amen. Sing loud. Get excited. Let's do this. I tell you what, moving all that junk that I had to move from South Carolina to Alabama, I tell you what, I didn't get up saying, praise God, let's move some more boxes. No, you know what I said? I said, I kicked myself and said, got to get up. Been doing this for 4 days. Got to do it again. I just had to stir myself up. Exodus 35. The Bible says in verse 21, and they came every one whose heart stirred him up. You see that? And every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Look at verse 26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Chapter 36, verse 2. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. You can stir yourself up. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Paul said, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in thee. You stir it up. Well, I'm just not excited. Well, then get excited. Well, I just don't feel like it. Well, feel like it. Stir yourself up. How many days you wake up and you don't feel like you're married? Or you don't feel like being the good wife or the good husband you need to be? Just stir yourself up and say, well, this is what we've got to do.
Amen. Good preaching.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I tell you what, if you have to have some kind of emotional experience to get you to do right, your Christianity is weak. Stir yourself up. Make yourself get happy. Praise the Lord. We're going to do it. Well, you can stir yourself up, or other people can stir you up. And in context, Haggai is doing a pretty good job stirring them up. Peter said, I'm going to put you in remembrance where I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He said that twice. I'm going to stir you up. But you know what? That always is not a good thing. The Bible said that Jezebel stirred up Ahab. She was controlling no strength. He did not have a thought in his brain about going and stealing that vineyard until Jezebel stirred him up to do it. You know how many people never had the thought of doing the wicked thing they did until somebody stirred them up to do it? Don't let other people stir you up to do wrong. And don't you be a stirrer up of doing wrong. Anybody can stir up a problem that fast with about two or three sentences. Well, did you hear? You can get it going, man. Right? Well, I tell you what I think. Did you see? I just don't know about. And you can stir people up. Well, just look at Acts. Hurry, I've got to finish, but I want to finish this. Acts chapter 6. In the early church, in the book of Acts, the thing that caused the most problem was that other people were stirring up other people. Don't be a stirrer unless you want to stir up yourself to serve God. Do that all you want to. Amen. Acts chapter 6. Here's a great preacher, Stephen, the Lord's messenger, preaching in the Lord's message. You know what happened? The Bible says, verse 11, Acts 6:11. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses, against God. Look at it. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to council. They stirred up the people, worked up something. That's what the devil always tries to do. Look at Acts 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 50. You can stir yourself up or you can let somebody else stir you up. But you better be careful about that. Acts 13, the Bible says in verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Boy, when you stir up the devout and honorable women, y'all reading what I'm reading? And the preacher is on his way out. That's what happened right there. Paul and Barnabas got expelled because of first. They said, I'll tell you how we can get rid of these two guys. Let's just go stir up these women over here. And that's exactly what they did. And the devil's plan worked. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. The devil said, that works well. I'll just do it again. Chapter 14, verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Stirring up people of different cultures. Chapter 17, verse 13, the Bible says in Acts, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. They're starting to follow Paul everywhere he goes and just stir up everybody. Tell a bunch of lies, do whatever they need to do. That's happening in America right now. People just trying to stir everybody up. And there are people that are all up in an uproar and they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're mad about. How many churches have there been people stirred up and they really didn't know what they're mad about, but somebody else is mad, so I'm mad too. Don't let the devil stir you up by other people that way. Let God stir you up. In chapter 21 of Acts, verse 27, one more verse. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. You can stir yourself up, other people can stir you up, or God can stir you up. God can stir people up. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Paul stepped out there in Athens, in chapter 17, and while he looked upon the idolatry of the people, his spirit started to be stirred up. God was just, when he saw the people were wholly given to idolatry, God's just working in his heart. When Haggai's preaching in the Lord's message, it's not really Haggai that's stirring them up, it's God stirring down in their heart. You see that? What a blessing when God puts his spoon down in your heart and starts just stirring your heart up. And you get a burning to do right and a hunger and a desire for him. That's what we need. We need the Lord to stir our hearts. But he doesn't stir hearts that are not willing to be obedient. I read the last verse of my text and I'm done. Would you go back? Haggai, verse 14. The end of the verse said, and all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. 23 days after the sermon started in verse 1, 23 days, they got to work on the house of God. You see, why did it take them 23 days? Well, it took them 23 days. Probably they had to get some preparation ready. They had to before they could actually start the building. They had to, you know, prepare some things and reason some things out and plan out some things to get the work done. But what I want you to see is the Bible says they came and did work in the house of the Lord. The work of God was renewed. Just like in Nehemiah when it said the people had a mind to work. Finally, they all get to work for God after they were all willing to be obedient and they received the Lord's message and their spirit got stirred up. And in that text, it said the Lord stirred their spirit up. I mean, maybe these guys were broken down or tired or worn out or discouraged, and God's just stirring them up. He said, man, let's go. I'm getting my tool. I'm getting my hammer. Where are you going? I'm going to go do the work of God. I got a heart to do it now. I got a mind to work. May the Lord help us to let God work in us so that will be the kind of people that we are. Lord, I'm stirred up not to do my work, do your work. And I'm willing to be obedient in that. Thank you for your attention. Let's bow our heads together. And an encouraging message that God is with us. God is with us as we obey Him. Let's stand together. Father, we pray as we stand before you that you would help our hearts to be acceptable and right before thee, Lord. We pray that you would keep us from being stirred up by the wrong people. And Lord, we pray you would stir our hearts into obedience and Lord, into things that would glorify your name and please you. We're thankful tonight that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what happens in our country, you promised that you'd be with us. Lord, if we would keep ourselves in the center of your will, that you'll be right there with us. We pray you would help us to do thy will, O God. May we learn this lesson of Haggai tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.